So when was your last checkup? Oh no, not you. Although that's important too, but when was your last vehicle checkup? When it comes to service, nobody knows your Chevy better than your local Chevy dealer. Go to ChevyDriveChicago.com to schedule an appointment today.
Time for our regular weekly Monday morning house call from Dr. Kevin Moe, sponsored by Northwestern Medicine. Relentless in their pursuit of better health care. Hey, Doc, happy Monday morning to you. How you doing?
Good morning, Bob. I'm doing great.
Let's talk about Steve Grzanich just reported the third case of coronavirus in the Chicago area. Are we prepared here in the city for all this?
I'll say yes and no. We're getting prepared. I can tell you that. Probably the biggest concern now is how many cases are actually out there, and what are we going to do with the individuals who do test positive? I think what you're going to start to see is you're going to see the number of cases in the United States probably, I don't want to say skyrocket, but they're going to go up substantially as we start to test more. So now it's a matter of, we really don't have room in hospitals to put these patients like we did for the first two patients, put them in isolation. We don't have room for hundreds of people to put in the hospital in isolation when they're healthy. So it's going to be more of a matter of public health saying, all right, you're positive, we want you to quarantine yourself in your own home versus us holding on to them in the hospital.
I've heard conflicting reports about whether the warmer weather is going to help or not. What do you think?
I'm certainly hoping. You know, we have flu season here, and then we have, you know, the summer. And during the summer, do we see some influenza? We do. We still see cases, but it's a little bit more rare. So we're really hoping that this kind of does like what SARS did, you know, 17 years ago. We're kind of, you know, flames out. True influenza, the virus itself, is more hardy in the winter, and that's why it does so well. Coronavirus is not true influenza, but we're still hoping that the typical flu season that's kind of hopefully coming to an end here over the next month or two is exactly what will happen to this, and we'll start to see this fade.
Mr. Grzanich has a question for you, Doc.
Dr. Moe, good morning. I wanted to follow up on the hospital part of that. I saw a report, another concerning report, that, you know, part of the hospital process with some of these patients is they go on a ventilator. Will there be enough ventilators for people, and what would happen if that shortage impacts who can be cared for?
Yeah, you know, it's a great question. We usually have excess ventilators, obviously, because we have to be prepared for an onslaught, but it's a matter of how many. So if we still see this 80% are healthy, 20% are, you know, more severely ill and needing ventilators, then there's a good possibility that we may have, I don't want to say run short on them, but we may have to then look at other tests that, or other conditions that we're treating and put those off. In other words, some surgeries, we know an individual is going to need to be on a ventilator. If it's an elective surgery, we may need to hold off on those. I don't think we'll get to a point where we totally run out of ventilators. I think, Steve, probably the biggest concern we have in the healthcare field is when an individual comes in, doesn't have a lot of symptoms, but then tests positive. Now what are we going to do with all the healthcare workers that were exposed to that individual? Are we going to then have to quarantine them for 2 weeks? And you're going to see the staffing at hospitals being stressed dramatically.
You look at the numbers on flu, and I guess that makes you feel better, and you put that in perspective. How do you look at it, Doc?
Yeah, I definitely do. You know, it's if you look at our flu numbers this year, we're having a fairly good flu season. I mean, 29 million cases of influenza, and we're talking about 90 cases of coronavirus. You know, 280,000 people have been hospitalized because of the influenza illness. We're not seeing anywhere near those numbers. 16,000 deaths, and I'll tell you, we've had over 100 pediatric deaths this year. And this is a virus that we can vaccinate ourselves for, and yet we still only see a vaccination rate of 40 to 45%. I think people need a reality check to say, hey, wait, shouldn't we make sure we're being treated and cared for with the one that's the most common instead of getting all the hysteria? Now, that being said, we are going to see big numbers. We're going to see an increase in the numbers of coronavirus. It's just a matter of how many.
Yeah, you recommend the flu shot? Not too late for that if you haven't gotten one?
No, it's not too late. Matter of fact, if you haven't gotten one, please get one. They're still available out there. The vaccine, we always look at how well it matches up. You know, this year early on, we had the influenza B strain. The vaccine didn't match up really well to that, and that's why we saw those very high numbers in, you know, in late November and December. Now we see this spike of the influenza A, which is actually a good match. So it's definitely worth getting the vaccine now because it matches up very well with the virus that's circulating currently.
Continuing with Dr. Kevin Most. And, Doc, let's talk a little bit about these numbers coming out of China that show a decrease in the number of new coronavirus cases. Do we believe this report?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting, Bob. When you can when you can make up the definition, you can make up the numbers. So what I say by that is, you know, initially when the Chinese government started counting them, it were individuals who actually tested positive. Then they found that there was a run on the test. They couldn't get the test done quickly enough, so they went to doing CAT scans on these individuals because it would show the pneumonia portion of it. And that's what they use next. And that's the day you saw that really big spike because we can get results of a CAT scan in just minutes. The government then said, wait a second, now is there too much hysteria here? And they cut back again. So we really don't know the true numbers. Now, the one, I mean, I hate to say good thing about spread as it is right now is we're going to start to really get the true picture of the virulence of this. As we start to get more data, we're going to be able to see, really, is the mortality rate 3% or is it closer to influenza and under 1%? So without good data, we had a lot of hysteria, and we're hoping that with good data, we can show that this is not as bad as it's projected to be.
How close are we to a vaccine?
Yeah, that's interesting, too. You know, they're a rush on to make a vaccine. National Institute of Health is definitely working on a vaccine. If you look at most vaccines, it's going to be 12 to 18 months. I think that you'll see this one come out quicker just because of the concern, but I think it'll be restricted as well. I think you're going to see that they're going to be able to make vaccine, but it's going to be held for those over the age of 75 or those with chronic lung problems. The concern the rest of us have in the medical field is if we make a lot of vaccine for coronavirus, what are those plants supposed to be making but influenza vaccine for next year? So, again, go back to those influenza numbers. It's not like we can put up a factory in 10 minutes and say we're going to start making, you know, this vaccine. Something is going to have to come off the production line in order to allow the coronavirus vaccine to be made. So that's one of the concerns that we have is will there be a shortage of regular influenza vaccine next year if we rush to do this one?
I know one aspect of all this that you feel is not getting attention is the looming physician shortage. How serious is that?
Yeah, it is. It's very serious, Bob. When we look at the number of physicians that we're going to need, there's estimates, you know, by, you know, the 2030 that we're going to be down 55,000, you know, doctors here. We have to look at the number of doctors actually retiring here over the next few years. Remember the baby boomers, not only did they impact all of society, but they impacted the number of doctors as well. So we had this big surplus of baby boomer doctors who are now getting to their retirement age, and we really haven't backfilled as well. I think we're going to start to see more concern about primary care because it's not the most glamorous thing. And you're going to see a lot more of what we call APPs, advanced practice providers, which are nurses who essentially have a master's or doctorate level training, as well as a physician's assistants who are going to be able to aid in the primary care setting. But we do have a big concern here.
I don't want a doctor of mine or a dentist to retire. I'd include barbers in that field, too. When I'm president, Dr. Most, I'm going to make it mandatory that those people work till they're at least 90, because it's very traumatic when you lose those people. We also have something coming up here that a lot of people don't know about, but I know it's big. And tell us about this. What is it called? Match Day? Is that what
Match
it is?
Day. Yeah. You know, it's kind of interesting when you look at medical school and how we train our physicians. And I'll just give you the quick primer on it. You go to undergrad, and hopefully you do very well, because in order to get into medical school, you have to have very good grades. You then go to medical school for 4 years. So right now, you're finishing, if you're a fourth-year student, you're finishing medical school, and you're deciding now what specialty you're going to go into. So you've done all your basic medical training, and now you're saying, okay, am I going to be a surgeon? Am I going to be an OB-GYN? Am I going to be a family doctor? And what happens here in a couple of weeks is something called match day. And what match day is the fourth-year medical students say, I want to go into this specialty, and this is where I want to go. So the doctor will make a list of the top 10 places he wants to go. And then the hospitals who have interviewed you or you've done rotations there make their list. It goes into a computer, and then it's matched up. So for myself personally, I ranked Lutheran General in Park Ridge as my number one. I was fortunate that they ranked me high enough as well. So I got my number one choice and went to Lutheran General for my residency. So this is a very exciting day. You'll see it on the news because it's the day that everyone opens their envelopes and sees where they're going to be going for their next 3 to 10 years and what specialty they're going to end up in.
Do we have enough people who want to go into family medicine? Because we need more Dr. Marcus Welbys out there.
We do, Bob. And, you know, it's interesting you bring that up because we have a very unique thing that's going on here in Chicago. And I'd love for people to at least consider this, to send an email to their congressman. In Humboldt Park, we have something called a teaching health center. So, like I said, I went and did my residency at Lutheran General. I picked a very large hospital, and I really wanted that great hospital experience. Family medicine, what we really need to understand going forward is it needs to be in the community. So it's not very difficult to find a doctor in Lincoln Park because that's a nice neighborhood. You know, people want to practice there and live there. But what we have in Humboldt Park is one of 57 teaching health centers. What that means is that we have family medicine doctors that are embedded in that community, and they're practicing ambulatory care. So you take a group of doctors, you put them in a very difficult community, which is social determinants of health are very bad there, whether it's fresh fruit, whether it's traffic, whether it's public transportation, whether it's the ability to be safe on the streets. And we're putting these doctors in there to care for these individuals, many who have diabetes and heart disease. So it's this great doctor who has this mission of treating the underserved. And Congress, unfortunately, may be getting rid of this, which would be devastating to this country.
Yeah, well, really, I'm glad you mentioned that because we need all those folks, and we especially need them right now, but even when we don't have a coronavirus outbreak.
So. Yeah, Bob, and you know, I'll just give you a simple example. You know, the Congress is saying they're going to consider doing this to save money, and it really doesn't save money. As a matter of fact, it costs us a lot more money. We can treat high blood pressure with medications that cost pennies a day. But if there's no one there to write that prescription for that individual for that high blood pressure, the next thing you know, they've ruined their kidneys. They're on dialysis now, which is a huge cost to society. They have a heart attack or a stroke, which, again, is devastating to themselves from a personal point of view as well as a cost point of view across the country. So when you look at the funding for this and you've taken these individuals that say, I want to help this portion of the population, if you yank that away, you're going to end up with no one that's going to go into these communities and practice, and you're going to end up with some devastating outcomes. So I'm really serious. You know, you send an email to your congressman saying, hey, we need to continue the teaching health centers because it's going to make an impact not only on the health of those in that community, which is a community that's often overlooked, but it's also going to have a huge financial impact as well.
Good idea. Dr. Kevin Most, Chief Medical Officer for Northwestern Medicine. We'll talk to you again next Monday morning. And, Doc, I hope you don't mind. I sprayed the phone with Lysol before our chat today. Can't be too careful right now.
You can't. Wash your hands often. Get your flu shot.
Got it. Have a good day.
Take care.